broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
She couldn't stand, and you know, she was telling us that she originally had four
local codes. To when you walked onto the VMAs and grabbed the mic from Taylor Swift.
To tell you the truth, I don't think that is
you always. It.
She's definitely a tramp.
World-famous Phil Hendry show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show one way or another that knows what it's talking about. Sarah Palin gets down and dirty in her new TV show. Well, now, what, pray tell, does that mean? I guess she got dirty as in she fell into some mud or something?
No, maybe she was naked.
I doubt that, man. I don't think so either. Maybe she was naked. 877-876-PHIL and online at philhendryshow.com. What a night tonight, man.
Yeah, man. The sooner you take a day off, the better.
Maybe. Sarah Palin gets down and dirty in her new TV show. Forget the Real Housewives and trying to keep up with the Kardashians. Sarah Palin's Alaska, which makes its TV debut on Sunday, couldn't be further from the pampered pooches and designer divas seen in much of the popular reality TV fare about the lives of American.
What's wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, man. It's just it's not a reality show, okay? Let's stop with the reality show. This is a show that is a camera on a life that people are playing to the camera, and they're acting, they're improvising. They're not acting as in, you know, having memorized lines, but they are acting, and they're making, you know, their best effort. They're putting their best foot forward, as it were. You don't think Sarah Palin, I just lost all of my news. You don't think Sarah Palin is going to stand there and let's say, for instance, it is a normal occurrence for Todd to fart at the breakfast table.
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to do it on the show?
He ought to. It would be wrong if... Wouldn't it be wrong if he did not?
If it would be wrong if he didn't? Or just polite?
Yeah, but why would he be polite if it's going to be a reality show?
Well, I agree with you, bud. So if it's a normal thing for Todd to cut a few farts at the breakfast table, I'm not saying that it is, but let's say that he does. Why wouldn't he do it on the show?
Because they don't want to show him doing that, man. They got him talking about Sarah Palin being Alaska and everything.
So what is this, man? Is this a big commercial for Alaska? Is it a reality show about the former governor of Alaska? Is it a reality show about a woman, a powerful woman in America, who is also a mother, who is also a wife, who is a proud Alaskan? What are we talking about, man? What is this show about?
It's about Sarah Palin and what she's doing and everything.
All right, it's about Sarah Palin. So is it a reality show or what, man?
No, man, it's like...
Let's see if we can make Sarah Palin entertaining if we take all the humanity out of her and just make her sort of the Barbie doll of the North.
What are you talking about, man? You're trying to make her look bad.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying... Look, forget the Real Housewives and trying to keep up the Kardashians. Sarah Palin makes the TV debut on Sunday. Couldn't be further from the pampered pooches and designer divas. The 8-part show on cable channel TLC portrays the Tea Party favorite and arguably America's most polarizing public figure as a family-loving outdoors woman who is as happy getting salmon in the mud. Oh, gutting salmon in the mud. Jeez.
Yeah.
What do I mean, getting it?
She's happy grabbing herself a little bit of salmon in the mud. No, she's happy gutting salmon in the mud. Well, that's a kind of against, animal rights?
Yeah, I think so, man.
Well, then, do the animal rights don't care about a fish?
I don't know. I would think that they would. I would think that the people who care about animals would be all over Sarah Palin like white on rice, man, when she's gutting that salmon.
Yeah, but you told me one time that salmon wasn't too bright.
Well, you know...
What do you mean salmon isn't too bright?
Phil said one time that salmon ain't all that bright.
I didn't say salmon ain't all that bright. I said, if you look at saltwater fish and you look at freshwater fish, saltwater fish's eyes look around in much the same way a mammal's eyes or a cat. You ever seen like a saltwater fish? They'll kind of, their eyes dart about. They look around, right?
Yeah.
If you look at a lake water fish, their eyes are just these dumb, dead eyes, you know?
Well, what's that supposed to mean, man? I'm in a lake water. How come they're dumb?
Yeah, what would make a lake fish dumb?
I think the lake fish are dumber because they have not the predators to deal with that the saltwater fish have had to deal with down through the many millions of years. The saltwater fish are dealing with a much more hostile environment, so they have to be, I guess, more instinctive. Whereas in the lakes, which obviously were bodies of water that were once attached to the oceans, and then the oceans receded and left these lakes, and the fish evolved dumb.
Yeah, that's what basically saying, man, because when it evolved out, they got dumb.
Yeah, well, how's that evolution then? If they got, oh man, I'd love to see the guy. In other words, you're saying that we get dumber.
And I'm not saying we get, what are you talking about, man?
Evolution's supposed to be getting better.
Wait a minute, man. Evolution is surviving. That's what evolution is. What do you mean dumber? Evolution is surviving. The freshwater fish evolved in such a way to survive their environment. I don't know what there is in freshwater that they have to survive, but they got to survive a bunch of guys with beer guts. That's what they got to survive.
What are you talking about?
Fishermen.
Oh.
But it doesn't mean that evolution means that you get dumber. Although in your case, bud.
Yeah, I'll go see.
All right, so...
what are you talking? Shut up.
Don't slap him. Anyway, advanced clips of the show are pretty miserable. Palin... No, I'm kidding. Advanced clips of the show show Palin hiking with various family members, naked, in the glaciers of her Alaska home state.
Let me see that.
Take that away from me. I'm kidding around, man. She's not naked. She's hiking with various family members in the glaciers of her Alaska home state, kayaking along its rivers, teaching her five children how to handle wild bears. How to handle wild bears?
Man, they'd rip your face off.
That's right. That wouldn't be a very smart thing to do there, Sarah. And gathering in prayer for a homely 16th birthday party for their homely daughter. No, it doesn't say that. For their daughter, Willow. But the word homely is probably misplaced there, meaning at home. On Friday, TLC announced that Christian rock band Third Day. I wonder why they call it Third Day.
A lot of them Christian band got to sound all like, what do you call it?
Yeah, like the devil came, like the devil's arrived.
Yeah, like the devil's here. And,
well, what's Third Day, man?
Like, you know, on the third day, man, you know, something happened.
You'd have to look at Revelations or something, bud. Look it up, will you?
I don't know nothing about a Bible.
Anyway, so the Christian rock band Third Day will provide the theme music for the series with the song Follow Me There, and Atomic Rooster's Death Walks Behind You will also, I'm joking. All right. I wanted to find this Palin, such as it is, bit of audio because, God, this story needs something like that. Now, here it is, Sarah Palin, and here is the TV show's opener. In a sneak peek at her new show, Alaska, we see Sarah and her family encountering a family of bears while gutting salmon alive. And you can hear the screams, no, I'm kidding, while they're fishing for salmon.
I love watching these mama bears.
What I see in that is what a mom would do, too. Anything and everything, laying down her life for her kids. Let's get the fish before the bear gets the fish.
What about the mother salmon, huh?
I'm going to say that, man.
Yeah, but the fish, you can't, play the rest of it.
Wait a minute, what about the mother salmon?
You make a good point, man.
The salmon ain't have... The salmon's dumb, like you said.
The salmon's dumb.
I love watching these mama bears.
What I see in that is what a mom would do,
uh-huh,
too. Anything,
right,
and everything, laying down her life for her kids.
Right.
Let's get the fish before the bear gets the fish.
Right. Okay.
Roar! Piper, don't. A bear's coming towards us. We're going to back up. Look at his claws, McKinley.
Get us back up.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking around to Todd going, are you feeling what I'm feeling? It could think that we are its lunch instead of those little tiny salmon.
Do you think?
All times we're snagged on a rock.
You think what I'm thinking?
Does the name Timothy Treadwell come to?
Oh, my God, man. That's the most grotesque thing you could ever have said.
Timothy Treadwell, you know, he was up there, too, up close and personal, Mrs. Palin. Tim Treadwell, and they captured it, the audio of it, on the camera when Tim Treadwell became a snack and his girlfriend.
Yeah, they would never show that on a TV.
No, they're not going to show it. I'm not saying that they would. I'm not saying they should. But I would say to you, Governor, if I was standing there, I'd say, Governor, I think, come on, they're just a bunch of bears. Have you ever heard of the grizzly man?
Man, that would be bad.
Oh, yeah. I'd get Werner Herzog. You see, Governor Palin, you know, how did you ever hear the narration he did for The Grizzly Man? It was very, it was a beautiful film, The Grizzly Man. But it was also a film where Werner Herzog knew that Tim Treadwell was off. He did not make any, he didn't cover up the fact that Tim Treadwell was a little bent.
What about, I don't even know what you guys are talking about, The Grizzly Man.
You never heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Oh, geez, really?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not, man. I'm not kidding at all.
You never heard about a Grizzly Man?
No.
You never?
No, I didn't.
The Grizzly Man was a guy named Tim Treadwell. He was a young man from California. And he would go up to Alaska every summer and spend the entire summer in what was called the Maze. This is an area of Alaska where grizzlies live. And he did this for every summer for many, many years. The upside of Tim Treadwell's efforts was that he documented his life with these bears every summer by way of video. He also kept a written diary. He has some very charming video. If you look at the Grizzly Man diary videos, a lot of it is really charming. He befriends a family of foxes.
Yeah, I like when that little fox run away with his hat.
Yeah, this little fox. Foxes are heavy, man. They're like dogs. I mean, you can. This family of foxes became really tight with him. And and one of the little foxes stole his hat. And then one day he came back to his campsite and these weasels had gotten in to everything. And weasels are a riot. They're these little furry dudes that are just all sniffing his shoe and looking at his hat and looking around. It was like just a bunch of dudes were, hey, what are you doing here? You know, we're weasels. You're supposed to live here? I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. But Tim Treadwell also had this cat was a former drug addict, I mean, admittedly, and he'd gotten off of drugs. And his whole life was about these bears, and his whole life was, he gave them names. And he, through his observations, perhaps, I don't know, I've never talked or heard from any wildlife experts what Tim Treadwell was able to contribute to the literature on grizzly bears. I don't know if his observations were valid, but they certainly were extensive, and it was amazing seeing him. It was almost like the story of a guy who had a little bit of an ego on him, who on one of the tapes is very expressly cussing out the U.S. Department of the Interior, and he's cussing out the cats that run the Ranger Service, and he's cussing out all these guys, man, you know. So he had a kind of a political thing going on. And anyway, one summer he was in the, what does that say, Jason? Katmai or Katmai National Park in Alaska. And he was on his way out, as he was every summer. He had a guy who would come and pick him up in a bush plane. And that was the same dude that dropped him off at the beginning of the summer. So this dude would drop him off with his supplies and then pick him up at the end of the summer and he'd go. Well, this one summer, his girlfriend was up there with him, Amy. And he decided to hang around for another couple of weeks. I'm not exactly sure why, but he wanted to hang out for another couple of weeks. Well, it's not really the best time because a lot of these bears are, I think they're getting ready to hibernate.
What's that?
Hibernate is go to sleep. Basically, the bears sleep for a long time. Well, the one thing you want to do before you hibernate is what?
Yeah, man, they're going to eat a lot of food.
They want to eat. The bears want to eat. There had been a bear in this maze area of creeks that Tim Treadwell was at that he saw, and he didn't trust this guy. He hadn't even really given him a name, but he had said to the camera many times, there's that bear again. I don't know about that guy. He's new here. I mean, because he talked about these bears like they're people. And one of the guys that was interviewed for the movie said that Tim Treadwell's big mistake was that he thought bears were nothing more than people in bear suits. And that proved to be, you know, pretty true, I think. Anyway, make a long story short, on October the 5th, 2003, and this was in the 85-year history of this particular national park, this was the first time this happened. What is the meaning of what you just wrote to me, man? A bear killed and ate a bear. What the hell does that mean, man? Anyway, this dude was attacked by this bear. This was captured on audio by the video camera that had been turned on, but the cap, the lens cap was on. And I don't know, maybe that was a good thing, man. I don't know, because the audio of Tim Treadwell being attacked and killed by this bear, and then, additionally, the audio of his girlfriend Amy coming, trying to come to his rescue, the voice of Tim Treadwell telling her to get away, to just get away, and she won't. She won't leave him. She was attacking this bear with whatever she had. Some people have assumed it might have been some kind of a cooking utensil of some kind, a frying pan, whatever. The animal then turned on her, killed her, and that was it, man. That was it. And when the bush pilot came in to pick them up, knowing that he was coming in a couple of weeks later than expected, he said, I knew right away. They said, what did you see? He said, I saw the spinal cord, the spinal column of Tim Treadwell, and his head. He said, I knew what had happened. He said, I knew what had happened. So that's the story there, man.
Boy, that's, you think that happened to Sarah Palin or anybody like that?
Yes, I do. I think Sarah Palin is. No, I don't. Jeez, we'll be back. Phil Hendry Show.
It's The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, well, he did. And we're back here on the Phil Hendry Show. We only got a few minutes so before we take our bottom of the hour break, but I'll finish up the story about Grizzly Man, because the documentary was made by Werner Herzog. He's a longtime, well-established documentarian, a German director. He's also done dramatic pieces, done a lot of documentaries. In the movie, Tim Treadwell had a girlfriend in California, too. Her name was Jewel Palovac, and she was the only really surviving person, I guess you could say, other than Tim's parents, who would inherit whatever it was that he had. You know, I think he was married to her, or was going, or had been, something like that, and was divorcing her and was going to marry this Amy. But the tape from the camera was retrieved, and it was in her possession. She had the tape. And Werner Herzog asked her, he said, may I listen to it, because she didn't know what to do with it. She hadn't listened to it. She certainly hadn't watched it. There was nothing on it because of the lens cap. He said, let me listen to it. Would you mind? She said, no. And the camera is on Werner Herzog as he has the headphones on and he's listening to the, well, I mean, to the death of the violent, savage death of these two people. And he says to her, when he takes the headphones off, he says, don't ever listen to this, and you must destroy this. You must destroy this tape. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's probably the best advice that woman's going to get.
Well, why is she going to destroy it?
Because somebody might, it might get into the hands of some real jackasses that want to exploit it and turn it into YouTube fare, you know?
Yeah, but YouTube, that's only on a sound, right?
It doesn't matter, man. Even if it's audio, some jackass would have put a video to it. So, to the best of my reckoning, I should say, she took his advice, because it's nowhere to be found, man. I haven't heard of it, and I'm glad, and I haven't seen anybody, and I'm glad. And but that's what he told her. He listened to this thing, and this was a woman who the man that she loved was dying in this tape, and he said to her, "Don't ever listen to this, and you have to destroy this tape." And the look on her face,
she must have been scared.
Well, the look on her face, her eyes were like just bugged out. Like, okay. And she was nodding and she was listening and she was, I don't think there was any doubt what she was going to do with that tape. I think she would do exactly what he told her to do with it. So anyway, that's the Grizzly Man story, you know. So no, I don't think that's going to happen to Sarah Palin, but
never know.
Never know.
Yeah, well, they would get her out of there and everything in the Secret Service.
That's right, bud. They'd have the Secret Service.
What's the Secret Service going to do?
You ever heard of guns? Oh, don't know about guns.
The Secret Service? Are you crazy? She don't need the Secret Service. She's probably got the knock on her next door neighbor, man. He's probably got more guns than the Secret Service has got. Anyway, I don't think it's going to happen. All right, coming up, a video of a racial tirade against a postal worker causes an uproar, but is the tape actually real? Is this really a racial tirade, or is it a couple of friends having a joke? We don't know. We'll talk about it coming up here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
St. Joe's students sent to hospital after drinking Four Loko. I'm just yelling because the bumper music is driving me out of my mind. St. Joe's students sent to hospital after drinking Four Loko. Well, how about that? Now, this is this drinking, this is this alcoholic beverage that has caffeine in it, okay? And for some reason, I don't know why, but it's affecting some of these college students. I mean, let's just be, you know, clear about what we're talking about. These are people that have probably don't have a lot of experience drinking, and they're drinking like idiots, and they're getting sick. Is that a fair assessment?
That's what I think.
I don't hear of adults getting sick on this stuff, and you're not going to tell me that there aren't adults drinking it. You know, for a fact, there are adults drinking it. I don't hear of every single solitary college student that drinks the stuff getting sick. I'm hearing every weekend the press selectively finding stories about Four Loko so they can manipulate the states involved, whether it's Pennsylvania or whether it's Colorado or I don't know who these guys are, so they can basically manipulate the politics involved and get this stuff banned or otherwise control the story. I mean, that. Whether they're doing it on purpose or not, it's hard to believe that they're not. I mean, every news reporter, every person out there that's involved in gathering information, I mean, their dream is to, you know, get the story. And if there's no story to get, well, then you better make a story. Because somebody's going to be out there making one. Now, what have you guys done with this Four Loko story? You people at the, NBC, ABC, CBS, what you've done is every week, man, you've got somebody out there in the world reporting on a college student, some dumb punk kid that doesn't know how to drink. Let's face it. I mean, I was one once. I mean, if there isn't a human being out there that drinks that hasn't crawled in the weeds at least one time in their life and puked.
Well, you shouldn't admit on that, though.
And you have, too, haven't you?
Yeah.
What about you, Robert?
Sure.
Everybody. And that's what these kids are doing. They're sent to the hospital after drinking Four Loko, but the school won't say when it happened or talk about how many students, except to say that it was a handful. Four Loko is a popular and controversial energy alcohol hybrid drink that Pennsylvania's Liquor Control Board has asked distributors to stop selling. All right, so why don't you go buy yourself a Red Bull and some vodka? Same difference. Four Loko is becoming more popular on campus, according to the school's newspaper, The Hawk. Local doctors have told the school they've seen an uptick in the blood alcohol levels of students they've treated, and the information's also coming from the sick students. What are we talking about, sick students? What does that mean? What does that mean?
Maybe they're puking it more than other students is.
Well, I can tell you what it means, if you want to know, because this is where we're at on college campuses. I'm telling you, this is the case. If anybody on a college campus who is, let's say, in charge, man, I don't know who that would be, an administrator, a school nurse, somebody in the dorm who is in charge of that floor of the dorm, you know, whoever, and they come across somebody who's passed out drunk, you understand?
Yeah.
Do you realize that some universities, that mandates a ambulance trip to the hospital? There's just no getting around it.
Well, yeah, but if they're passed out.
Well, all right. But let's say you're in your bed and you're passed out drunk and they wake you up and you wake up and they say, aha, you were passed out drunk. Right. You got to go to the hospital in an ambulance. You think I'm kidding? That's the way it is in California, the UC system. That's the way it is in the state of California at UC. If they walk into your dorm room and you're asleep and they smell alcohol in your breath, and they've been told that there's been excessive drinking, you have to go to the hospital and get checked out because they're afraid you have alcohol poisoning, or maybe you're going to go into a coma, or whatever this lightweight, jive-ass, bullcrap thing is. We have no understanding of alcohol. Do you understand, folks, decades after the founding of Alcoholics Anonymous, we don't have a clue what it means. I mean, the people in AA do. We have no idea what alcoholism truly is. It is an individual biochemical reaction based upon the physical type involved, the individual involved. Some people can drink Four Loko and walk home and do handstands on the way. Other people drink Four Loko and are passed out dead, blind, stinking drunk. Other people drink two sips of Four Loko and they spew vomit like that guy in that Monty Python movie that you think is so funny, bud.
That's bitching. Get the meaning of life?
I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the one.
Jeez.
That's the funniest scene of any movie anywhere when they vomit. Yeah, how do you think they did that? With a fire hose or something? Or did they?
I don't know, man, and I don't care. I'm not talking about that right now. But there's probably people that spew like that after they drink two sips of Four Loko. Just... like that, like the puppet puked in Team America?
That was funnier, man.
Well, okay.
You think the puppet puking was... Oh, I don't even know why I'm talking about this. Anyway...
I thought it was.
That one puppet thrown up in the alley in Team America was killing me.
Was you the voice of that, of the throw-up?
Was I the what?
Did you voice the throw-up?
No, I didn't voice the throw-up, man. I didn't voice that puppet. I did the terrorist and the intelligence computer.
Oh, who voiced the throw-up?
What do you mean, voiced the throw-up, man?
What are you talking about?
Who went bleh, like that?
I don't know. Some one of the other actors, I guess. Who voiced the throw-up?
Well, it's not a bad question.
No, bud, I didn't voice the throw-up. It was whoever the actor was that was playing that puppet. I'm sure he voiced the throw-up. Now then. So here's what one of these Carrie Anderson, the vice president of the Office of Student Life. Oh, great. That's a hell of a great name. The Office of Student Life. We asked people what they had to drink so the emergency room doctor knows what to do. And we started seeing Four Loko come up as something that people had been drinking that got them to the point of where they needed hospitalization. I'm not exactly clear yet on what the hospitalization is, you know. And that's what I mean. Do these kids need hospitalization, or is it just a standard rule of the universities there in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, like in California, that if you are in a certain state, you must go to the hospital? Last month, 9 students were hospitalized in Washington after drinking Four Loko at an off-campus party. What do you mean? Were they put in overnight? Was it alcohol poisoning? Were they just over-amped on the caffeine? Did they need Valium? What the hell did... Fusion Projects, maker of Four Loko, was started by 3 college friends from Ohio State University in... In 2005, the company says its beverages are not energy drink, as they've been called, and when consumed responsibly, they're just as safe as any other alcoholic beverage, which I don't doubt at all. Just this week, the company posted an open letter on their website to state and federal regulators saying that they were open to discussing the concerns about mixing caffeine and alcohol, but they shouldn't be singled out, that any restrictions should apply to the entire caffeinated alcoholic beverage category, not non-specific individual projects, and not just beers or malt-based products. So is that what that is? Is that what Four Loko is?
Yeah, I think it's like caffeine and beer.
Oh, my God, that's got to taste like rot gut. One of the students from the Washington College incident with Four Loko was briefly in a coma and had a blood alcohol level of 0.35. What's going on with this, you guys, is not the fault of the drink. It's the fault of the idiots that are drinking. And they're idiots, too. They're slamming this stuff. They're shooting this stuff. I think there was a video of somebody shooting Four Loko, you know, extra through like some extra tube that they attached to the bottom of the can. Right. And this is all a part of the dance, you know, of the coming of age, of the passage to manhood for some young men to see if you can withstand the toxic effects of alcohol and survive. I don't know. I mean,
you think that's a valid way of coming up to the manhood?
No, I don't think that's a valid way of coming up to manhood. No, I don't. Not at all. There's a video on YouTube where a college student beer bongs two Four Locos in a matter of 10 to 15 seconds. So that's 26% alcohol. I mean, if you were to combine those two drinks, the entire drink would be a quarter alcohol. And I don't know how much caffeine. He did these two Four Locos in 10 to 15 minutes, or 10 to 15 seconds, rather. And that guy's walking around upright, free as a bird, and probably just got done doing his mother's laundry and is bringing her flowers and a basket of chocolates. I was going to say a basket of Bosco, but that would have been
racist.
Right. And he's doing fine, man. He's living large and the whole, what's wrong with him? Nothing.
Well, if a guy could beer bong two Four Locos, how come they don't single him out on account of the other people?
Well, Bud, here's the thing. Are you going to say to that guy, oh, you beer bong two Four Locos, we better take you to the hospital too?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with him, man. There's nothing wrong with the guy. He's drunk. He's drunk out of his mind, but maybe he's just laying down to sleep. That cat didn't have to go to the hospital. Why?
Because that guy has got a different kind of metabolism.
No, man. No, you're wrong. You're both wrong. The Four Loko is not sending everybody that drinks it to the hospital. There is a minority of individuals involved in going to the hospital after drinking Four Loko. I maintain that they are irresponsible young males, most likely, who've turned drinking Four Loko into some kind of a, test of their manhood. It's replaced tequila. And so that's what they're doing. And the there are other people there who are not drinking it like a bunch of jackballs. So here's a guy, this guy drinks it like a jackball, but he knows what he's doing. I've always believed you can drink as much booze as you want if you know what the hell it is you're doing, if you're not going to be driving, if you're going to be staying put, if you got a nice safe place to go and puke, who cares?
Yeah, well, that's my philosophy, and I've always lived by it.
Hey, all right.
Good one, man.
Yeah. All right, coming back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Kanye West cancels a concert on the Today Show because he got all upset with Matt Lauer for, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry. Phil Hendry Show.
Coming up on Sunday night, don't forget we got Sunday Night Phil. We have three classic hours on our video feed of our archive material. And we always seem to roll out something great on our Sunday Night Phil from the archives that is sort of legendary. We had the Greenskeeper. Oh, I don't know, man. If I went to the website, I could refresh my memory. The Greenskeeper is classic, man. It was that, and we mentioned it on the show. It was this guy that called 10 years ago when we talked about Tiger Woods winning the British Open. And this dude called in from Cheviot Hills, which is one of the great golf courses here in Southern California, and maybe across the country. This guy sounded like he was going to have a stroke. I don't know why that's funny, but in any event, we also have a bit on there called Fat Ass. What in the hell is this, bud?
Here it is.
Phil introduces on August 2000 clip featuring retired commercial pilot. Oh, Art Griego theorized that TWA went down because there was competitive dieting among the flight attendants. And one of them got tired of being called Fat Ass, so she lit a book of matches and threw it into a gas tank on the plane. It was insane. So check it out there, philhendryshow.com. That is Sunday Night Phil coming up at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Phil Hendry Show website. Kanye West, excuse me, Kanye West has canceled a Today Show concert amid this Bush flap. Now, it all started out, how it all started out when Kanye West had been on television after Katrina and said that George Bush doesn't care about black people. And I think we played that clip for you at one point. So he said that. President Bush comes out with his book, which is called Decision Points, and he says that was like a low point in his presidency to be called a racist and to say that he didn't care about black people, that to have someone say that about him. Kanye West then came back and said, well, maybe I overstated the case, and it probably wasn't the most fair thing to say, but I was very, upset. So that sounded very cool and almost like there had been you know, two men sort of expressing themselves and coming to a rather adult place in the road. Well, all of that got compromised slightly here as Kanye West today, or I should say on Friday, canceled a performance on NBC's Today Show to protest what he called a setup when he was interviewed on the program over his flap with former President George Bush. West was due to perform on the morning show on the 26th, the Friday after Thanksgiving, but canceled after the perceived slight during an appearance on the Today Show last Wednesday. Live performances are ratings draws for Today, the top-rated U.S. morning talk show. I'm not performing on the Today Show for obvious reasons. I'm so happy the world got to see just a small piece of the setup, he said. An NBC spokeswoman said, I don't know what this guy's talking about. No, she didn't say it. She said, well, you know how blacks are. And an NBC spokeswoman, through Keith Olbermann, said, you know how these darkies. No, she didn't say. She said that they confirmed the performance was canceled. Now, the dispute stems from West's comment after Hurricane Katrina 5 years ago that the slow U.S. government response was because Bush, president of the United States at the time, doesn't care about black people. Bush referred to West's criticism in his recently released memoirs, and he told Matt Lauer, I resent it. It's not true. It was one of the most disgusting moments of my presidency. Bush's remarks drew attention because, as Lauer said, they were the most emotional comments Bush made during the 3.5-hour interview that covered topics including the September 11th attacks, the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and other things. I just lost the second page. Well, anyway, let's listen to this comment here. This is Kanye West. He's not happy, and the Today Show's Matt Lauer shows a clip of President Bush during the interview. So he feels like he was set up, even though he was being sort of, you know, he was manning up about it.
Just play the tape. Don't even listen this time. I want you to just look at his face when he is commenting about you. And just look at him. I mean, this is the most emotional he got during my entire 3.5-hour interview with him. What would you say to him if he would meet with you face to face? And I'm not sure he would, but if he would.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't need you guys to show me the tape in order to, like, prompt my emotion to what I'm going to say.
You know? I'm just asking you, when you look at his face, what would you say to him?
I mean, pre-looking at his face, I came up here because I wanted to say something to him right after the fact. You know, I would say, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't even have to do the TV stuff with me. This is reality. This is the real thing going on. This is, you know what I'm saying? I don't need all the jazz.
what the hell?
I would say to... Can we be quiet for a second?
Whoa, dude. All right. So he's pissed off because there seems to be some dramatic setup going on with the tape and a whole lot of theatrics that Kanye West is saying, this is about how I feel, this is about how he feels, what are you people doing? And you, whoever you are, keep your mouth shut. Ann Curry. No, he said whatever he said. Now Kanye West gets upset that the Today Show played a clip of the Taylor Swift incident.
We're alluding to when you walked onto the VMAs and grabbed the mic from Taylor Swift. And,
yeah.
And some people said this wasn't a guy expressing his musical preference.
Yeah.
This was a guy who was making a statement about race, that Beyonce was better than Taylor Swift. And you got accused of racism.
Yeah, exactly. And I just, and it was so funny to me that it could be a race thing, because where I was expressing was my frustration from years and years of seeing,
you know, I'm really happy for you. I'll let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all.
Yo, how am I supposed to talk if you're going to run this thing in the middle while I'm talking?
It's under. You won't be hearing
it. But I'm hearing
much.
It while I'm trying to talk.
Okay, can you take the sound out of the overheads, please? Just pick up. You said it wasn't a race thing.
Please don't let that happen. It's like ridiculous.
See, I really like that. I like his reaction to the way an interview can be manipulated, the way that the way you're supposed to perceive it is manipulated by the people who are conducting it. Well, let's just show these pictures here so you'll really get what it is we're talking about. And meanwhile, Kanye West, while he is very heartfelt and honest, he looks like a jackball on wheels. So that was kind of a, I thought that was a good moment there. In any event, the president was asked wide-ranging questions. Lauer had West on the program Wednesday to discuss Bush's reaction. And here's what you didn't hear. He said, quote, I would tell George Bush in my moment of frustration that I didn't have the grounds to call him a racist. You didn't hear that in the clips, and I think that's an important thing. But West grew agitated, and you obviously heard him say that. That he didn't like them rolling all that dramatic footage while he's trying to speak about the things that they have asked him to speak about. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, I think that that was kind of a cool moment.
Yeah, but I think that President Bush should have called him up and said, you know, let's throw down or something. I mean, it's not going to have a fight or anything, but...
What do you mean, let's throw down?
What do you want him to do? Well, just say, you don't have no right to talk to me like that. I'm the President of the United States. You're a silly hip-hop person.
He ain't going to do that, bud.
Why not?
He's not going to waste his time, okay?
Yeah, but that's just it. It did hurt him, so he should have said it instead of pretending like it didn't.
I don't know, man. I mean, it hurt him, but he probably thought his hurt feelings over Kanye West ain't what it's about. You know, he's got other stuff he's got to do. He's got other fish to fry, you know.
Lake fish?
What?
Lake fish. The dumb ones.
Lake fish?
Yeah, he got other fish to fry, the dumb fish.
Oh, why don't you shut up, lake fish? Phil Hendry Show. PhilHendryShow.com. Produced by Jason Rantz, Technical Director Charles Wagon, and our Associate Producer Dan Northcraft. See you on Sunday night. Sunday night, Phil.
Phil Hendry.
Lake fish are dumb.